Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
So you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm Connor. Cole Wright is in for Dan. Dan was emceeing the Camp One Step charity auction, charity poker event last night. I was there. It was an incredibly fun time. Dan needed the day off.
He was like Ed Norton in Rounders, right?
It was fantastic. Just keeps on flopping cards.
Breaking guys' spirits.
I caught that familiar snapping sound that I know from the mechanic, and that's how I knew he was dealing from the bottom of the deck.
Is that a Jason Statham reference to the movie, The Mechanic?
No, that's the Rounders, baby.
Oh, okay.
That's Rounders.
Oh, okay.
God, I love that movie.
I thought you heard the snapping from the Astros dugout.
The banging scheme is what that is.
Yeah, a little buzzer on it.
Matt Miller would never cheat, though he has had a nice night out once or twice. He's been covering the Combine. We love talking to Matt. He joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's up, Matt? How are you, man?
Good. Sounds like Dan's getting old.
No, he's
being honest.
He's old, man. We got to check. We're going to do wellness checks with Dan probably like 10:30 or so, and then again at 11:30, and I'm sure he'll just tell us to go get bent or something like that.
Matt, I wish you guys could have done that for me this week.
How was the combo? What's the biggest news? You are invested and involved in the scouting community, so I would imagine that 40-yard dash times mean something, but what is the thing that spoke loudest to you from the first little bit of the NFL Combine so far?
Yeah, honestly, it's the people who aren't working out, guys. It's that number of players. Joe Burrow, not doing anything. Chase Young, nope, I'm good. And we've really seen that trickle-down effect of even when it came to like the receivers doing the bench press, which is just kind of, it's honestly a little pointless, right? But it was, a third of the guys aren't doing it. So I think the one thing we're really seeing this year is with the move to prime time, with the NFL changing the schedule, a lot of the top players are choosing to not do the full workout. You know, they're doing some of the workout, but not the whole thing. And then some guys are just completely doing nothing. So I think that was the biggest part of the early portion of the week. You know, now we get into last night, Henry Ruggs runs a 4.27. That's pretty big news. It's a pretty fast time. Almost a tenth of a second faster than the next fastest guy so far at the Combine. So, like, put that in perspective. The difference between a 4.4 and a 4.3 is crazy. And he's a tenth of a second faster. I mean, it's ridiculous how fast he is at 4.27. So that was notable. The quarterbacks threw last night. Honestly, everyone looked like they should. You got Chase Claypool at Notre Dame, though. He's having a really good week so far when it comes to the athletic testing. He really showed out. I did not think he was a 4.42 type player, but that's his number now, and it's his number for the rest of his football playing career, so it's a good one.
Yeah. How many spots up does that move him?
It could move, seriously, it could move a guy 10, 20 spots in this draft just because at receiver it could, because it is such a deep receiver class. It's something that Connor and Dan and I have talked about all season. It's, oh my God, this receiver class is incredibly deep. But these guys get put in tiers. And so with Chase Claypool, now you could be at the top of your receiver tier. You could be at the top of tier three, where now we're looking at round two instead of round three. So, I always feel like people overrate the combine a little bit. But what it's really used for, what it's best used for, is when a guy like that who has really good film, but you have questions about his speed and his athleticism. When he comes down and answers those questions about speed and athleticism, you have to just throw your hands up and say, okay, I liked his tape, liked everything about it. I just didn't know how fast he was. And now he's showing you, okay, he's got legit speed. He's got home run speed. And so with the way, especially with Chase, where you're getting just such a good dude, you know, a great leader, he'll play special teams. He'll run down the field and kill people as a gunner if he has to. And then you get, on top of that, a really good athlete at 238 pounds. It gets you pretty excited, honestly.
Well, no question about speed or athleticism when it comes to the quarterback position and Jalen Hurts. You know, we were talking about it with Steve Mariucci a little bit earlier here on the show. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, what he brings to the table, you saw this guy and all the adversity he went through down there in Tuscaloosa, was able, you know, to transfer to Norman and play for Oklahoma and uplift that team and keep them on track. And like Mooch just said, he was, you know, the runner up for the Heisman Trophy. And when you look at all the adversity this guy's faced, if he slips and he's right there and he's at 43, do you see the Bears taking a gamble on him? Because maybe I'm just banging the drum here for Jalen Hurts.
Wish casting for Jalen Hurts.
I don't know why that is, but I'd like to see a team build through the draft. When you get a young quarterback in and when you have him for the first 3-4 years of his contract, it enables you to build around him. And we've seen that with other quarterbacks. We've maybe not seen that so much with a quarterback here in Chicago. But if Jalen Hurts comes in and he's taken at 43, I think he can make a serious impact for the Bears. What have you seen from Jalen Hurts so far in Indy?
You know, my favorite thing about Jalen is that he continues to get better. And I think we could go back to what he looked like as a freshman at Alabama, where, you know, he was making plays, but he just didn't look like a natural passer. And then, you know, he takes the time off, goes to OU, and he looks a little more natural, a little looser. And I was actually talking to his agent about this yesterday, and that's what I was telling her. The steps for him, he continues to impress. You know, he looks good at the Senior Bowl. He looks good here. I think the key for Jalen Hurts is the tape. It's kind of the opposite of Chase Claypool. Like, the tape doesn't match the workouts. He looks so good in 7-on-7. But I think what hurts, where he struggles, and what gives me pause about him is when he has to get to that second and third read. And I think there are schemes in the NFL where he could do pretty well being a one read and run type quarterback. But eventually you have to develop beyond that. So I think with Jalen, he is the kind of guy that, like, he could get on the field and he could make big plays right away, and he could move an offense like Lamar Jackson in year one. But then Lamar in year two was like, all right, buddy, now you got to throw to win. And he did it. He made the improvements to be a better passer. So I think with Jalen, you're drafting a similar type guy where he can get on the field and he can do some crazy things early, and he's going to win some games. He's going to make some bad throws that are going to, you know, crush your spirits. It's about, do you project that he can get better, that he can develop on the field, you know, like real time, not the Pat Mahomes sit and learn thing. The, hey, we're throwing you out on the field, man, and you're going to have to learn. And I think with Jalen Hurts, that's the biggest question is, do teams feel that way? I currently have him in the third round. That's really why I've had him throughout this process. So 43 is a little rich for me. And also, I've talked about this a lot on my show. Ryan Pace, it's funny, you know, one year he's executive of the year, the next year Bears fans want him fired. Mm-hmm. I feel like he has really tied himself to Trubisky, not just by trading up to draft him over Mahomes and Watson, but by saying at the end of the year, you know, hey, he's our quarterback in 2020. He's our starter. And I know that those press conferences, those dudes can lie. Like, what they say means nothing. But then turn around and draft in a quarterback at 43, it would be a pretty big surprise, I think.
It would be. Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter is our guest here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves host Curtis McKenzie Bobblehead Night, presented by My50 Chicago on Saturday, March 14th at the Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Matt, little news last night. Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times reports that Austin Hooper, the free agent tight end formerly of the Atlanta Falcons, is at the top of the Bears' free agent wish list. Is that a good idea? And if you've got the notebook in front of you, go back to Hooper coming out of college and what you thought of him and the steps that he's taken over the last couple of years, becoming a pretty decent playmaker in a very comfortable offense last year.
Yeah, I like Austin Hooper a lot. I think the question there is health. But and the Bears are going to go after him. The Packers are going to go after him. The Patriots are going to go after him. Like, everyone's going to go after Austin Hooper. So he's, you know, he's a good tight end. He's huge. You know, 6'7". What he can do over the top is enormous. And I think over the last few years, we've even seen, like, I mean, he's not just like a jump ball guy. Like, he's a very well-rounded tight end. And so a player like that at, I think, 26 years old, like, don't come along very often. And so he's going to be very, very highly sought after. I mean, I think he would be a good fit for them. And like you said, going back to my notebook, and excuse me, I misspoke on his height. He's 6'4". But he's a classic inline guy. I mean, it's easy to look and say, okay, Travis Kelce did this in Matt Nagy's offense. Austin Hooper's going to play a same type of role. Not saying he's Travis Kelce, but that role that you see Kelce play for the Chiefs, he's going to be that guy. You know, red zone target. He's got long arms. He has some vertical ability. But I do think he's athletic enough to move around. The only thing I didn't like about him coming out was he dropped too many passes that last year at Stanford. And so I had a third-round grade on him. But I like Hooper now. And again, just tight ends like that don't hit the market very often.
Yeah, they don't hit the market very often. But one thing that I just heard from you, not just once, but I heard it twice, you said he's a good tight end and he would be a good fit in the Bears offense. And when you talk about the money that he would command, he would be one of, if not the highest paid tight end in all the game if this deal were actually to be facilitated. I don't necessarily think that he's the best tight end when it comes to money wise. And I think that when anyone looks at his numbers and even looks at whether it's fantasy numbers, production numbers, I don't think anyone that's walking the streets, you know, in Chicago today would think that he is of that caliber. He's not a Travis Kelce. He's not a George Kittle. He's not a Zach Ertz. I don't even think that he's even in that same category. I mean, if that's a building, those guys are on the top floor and he's a few floors down.
Right. But still in the building. Like he's still, you know, yeah, I think it's about managing expectations. And I think with the Bears, you know, we've seen them be a little splashy, you know, getting Allen Robinson, trading for Khalil Mack. We've seen them have some, you know, small moves. This would be a gigantic move to say, okay, we're going to try to fix the offense. And I think that's something, you know, we saw all offseason as we talked about this team in 2019, how they fit better was, they have to give Mitch weapons because you can't truly evaluate a quarterback when he doesn't have enough around him. The tight end position, whether it was Adam Shaheen or Trey Burton, it didn't work. The offensive line, it hasn't worked. And I like James Daniels. I like Cody Whitehair. I would probably replace everyone else on that offensive line. So it's one of the things like, where do you spend your assets? Because like we were talking about, like every Bears fan in the world wants them to draft a quarterback. But you only have so many picks, and you have to fill out the rest of this roster. You know, you need to get more weapons. And that's not even – we haven't talked about the defense yet. So, you know, with those two picks in round two, 43 and 50, you got to hope you can get starters because you don't pick again till 142. So, like, that's the hard thing about this offseason for them is you don't have a ton of draft picks, and the ones you do have are all late. So I think when it comes to free agency, you're going to have to make a splash to get an Austin Hooper or to get a Jack Conklin. You're going to have to open up the pocketbook and spend pretty big.
Matt, I don't want to circle back to that quarterback position, but I'm going to circle back to the quarterback position because, you know, we talked about Jalen Hurts.
It's the NFL.
Exactly. And yeah, you know, right, you said you have him going around the third round. Russell Wilson, he went number 75. He's a former third-round guy. If you wouldn't necessarily take a guy like Jalen Hurts as early as 43, who would you take if there's a quarterback around that you feel could be a difference maker for the Chicago Bears and can take them to the next level?
That's the problem. There isn't one. Like, that's the hard part. And I'll say Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick. I see a lot of Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. So you can find that guy, you know, that will fall. I don't see anyone at 43. Like, I'm not drafting Jake Fromm to play quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And this may come back to bite me squarely in the tail. And you guys can play the clip every week when I come on. But I'm not drafting Jake Fromm for Chicago. Right. I mean, he doesn't have the arm strength. He doesn't have the athleticism.
Stay away from Georgia quarterbacks more times than not.
Yeah, Aaron Murray is just tearing up the XFL right now, guys. So jump on board that while you can. But I think it's 50, like, or even a 43. I think you have the conversation of if you feel like you're going to draft a quarterback, I wonder if you can trade back a little bit. Mm. You know, and with Jalen Hurts, it's going to be fascinating to watch the next 2 months to see, because there's not that. Normally there would be that round two guy that you like to trade. You know, last year it was Drew Lock. It's like, man, I really like the trades. He's going to go in middle round two. Jalen Hurts could be that guy this year. He could be the fifth quarterback drafted this year. He could be the sixth quarterback drafted. And so with the Bears having 43 and 50, it's actually a pretty good spot because if you reach for a quarterback in the second round, like, oh, he should have been the 75th pick and we took him at 50, who cares? You're trying to get better at quarterback. No one's going to kill you for that unless it's, you know, Christian Hackenberg and you've thrown all your eggs in that basket. So I think 43 and 50 is a really good spot to be to – if you want Jalen Hurts, he's probably going to be there at 50, just the way the quarterback market is expected to pan out with all these free agents. So I think 50's a much better – I know it's only seven spots, but 50's better than 43 if that's who you're going to go after.
You know, Matt, the Bears cut Prince Amukamara just a little bit ago, a salary cap casualty. He had been a good player but not taking the ball away all that much. I think people know his career fairly well. Has your opinion on the cornerback position changed with what you've seen at the combine? I think everybody realizes that Jeff Okuda might actually be the second coming. But what is the rest of that class? What does the rest of that group look like once you get down to, you know, pick 70, something like that?
It drops off. I mean, Jeff Okuda's special, like really, really special. C.J. Henderson from Florida is pretty good, and then it drops off again after that, and you get into a cluster of guys that I'm really hoping separate themselves this week. Jeff Gladney from TCU, Jalen Johnson, A.J. Terrell, Stanford Samuels, Christian Fulton. So there's like six or seven corners that I think are top around two guys. So between 32 and 50, there could be six or seven corners drafted. So it's a good spot to need a corner. And I think one thing we're seeing this year in terms of trends is these guys are all big. Outside of Jeff Gladney, who came in at 5'10", but he's incredibly physical. But you know, the rest of these guys, Trevon Diggs is 6'2". Stanford Samuels is 6'1". Cameron Dantzler is 6'1". These are all really big corners. And as the NFL goes to more man coverage, because of how fast the ball's coming out, you can't sit back and play zone. You got to play man coverage. This year's corner class actually matches up really well with that because we're getting a lot of big physical dudes who can play at the line of scrimmage.
Matt, appreciate you as always. Enjoy the rest of the combine. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.